It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpin. Judy, of course, is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, for information there. Simon Loses His Tummy. Also, her last book was Before Her Voice Was Still, and now the book we are talking about, which is just being released, A Journal of a Duck's Midwife. Quack, quack, quack.
The story was on the radio. You managed to do a show in between running back and forth out there and checking on your eggs.
I wanted to talk to you about anxiety, which is something that I sent to you, and I have to say that I was the duck's midwife, and the 4 weeks in which she was sitting on her 8 eggs on my 12th floor balcony, how she got up there is another story, was filled with anxiety because she was not the most dedicated and conscientious mama. She kept leaving her nest sometimes overnight in hot weather, cold weather, wet, rain, whatever. And I was sure that the eggs were just going to sit there and get hard-boiled or frozen. And I kept asking people, what should I do? And they said, oh, don't worry, she'll be okay. The eggs will be okay. And anyway, I nursed her, took care of her, fed her, watered her, make sure that she was sheltered for the 4 weeks that she was sitting on her eggs. And that's what the book is about. My journal of being Sadie, that's the name I gave the duck, her midwife. And lo and behold, after 28 days, she gave birth. And 7 live ducklings, and the mama ended up in the Charles River.
Floating, not in a bad way, but going down as a family.
And to a very quiet part of the Charles River, not where all the boaters are or the kayakers, the crew people, but very, very quiet, very rural part of the Charles River. And 4 hours after the ducklings were born, and I have wonderful pictures of all this happening, mama and the ducks just swam off. It was really one of the most humbling experiences I've ever had.
And therefore the book. And now I want to segue with that. And by the way, I believe the book is, you can get it online, right?
Yeah, again, on Amazon. And even though I am not really a very good photographer, my iPhone really took some very good pictures, close-ups, because Sadie allowed me to get very close to her, feeding her, etc. And so I think the pictures really came out very well, too. It's a fun book, and for anybody who might decide to take on that position, himself or herself, here, sort of a manual of what to do if a duck lands on your backyard or your balcony sitting on 8 eggs.
All right, and now let's segue to anxiety, which is...
Right.
And the reason I'm saying that is because one of the things that I have noticed with, especially people who had the opportunity to stay inside a lot and who were not able to continue with their lives, either as an essential worker. People didn't think during the pandemic about how many people were actually out there doing stuff. Because
right.
their unit, and I'm just, this may not be what you've written about, but there's a very specific demographic that if they had a little anxiety before, or their anxiety only went to, something serious like a medical procedure or a friend with a medical procedure, that is now ratcheted up, like 6,000 times.
Sure. I think actually the name for it, it really is called social anxiety, and these are people who really were not terribly happy being in crowds or even going to a party or dealing with their coworkers or even family occasions, and would try to find excuses not to do so. And when the pandemic arrived and people had to stay inside, were told to stay inside, this was perfect for them because now they had a justifiable excuse for doing so. And I think one of the suggestions that I made in the article I sent you is that, we all have anxiety. It's impossible to go through life without it. And sometimes you can prepare for it. You have you're taking the bar exam or you're doing a piano solo. You practice, you study, you rehearse, you have other people see how you're doing, and that takes some of the anxiety off because you know that you will do okay, or else you know that even if you don't do okay, nobody is really going to remember. You know, if you miss a step or if you, you know, don't get 100 on your bar exam, you're still going to be a member of the bar. But one of the things that I think we all need is when we're going through anxiety, whether it's sitting, being inside because you're afraid to go out on the sidewalk or to a supermarket, or sitting in a waiting room waiting for the results of a medical procedure that a family member is going through, you need to have somebody with you. And if that person can't be with you physically, that person should be with you on the telephone. And what that person really, I gave it sort of a off the head name called an anxiety calmer, but the person should has two functions. One is to help you in a moment of crisis. So if you have to call 911, or if you have to take somebody to the emergency room, or you need to take somebody to take care of your kids while you are dealing with a crisis, or your basement is flooded because you know your water heater broke, somebody who knows what plumber to call who will come in an emergency, somebody who will help you do what has to be done to get over the crisis that's causing the anxiety. But the other role that person has to play is reality testing. And here's what you're talking about comes into play. Saying to that person who is afraid to go outside, okay, let us go through, you know, the 12 different reasons why you are fearful of going outside, of why you remain isolated, to exactly what's going to happen. Are you going to go outside and the next cloud that passes over the sun is going to drop a Delta variant on your head, you know, of the COVID virus? Or is somebody going to, you know, sneeze in your face? Or are you going to be run over by a car? What are the things that actually are going to happen to you realistically? Not what, as we've talked before, what you believe, but what is actually fact. You know, when you're sitting, you know, waiting for, you know, to do a piano recital and your hands are sweating, what have you, somebody said, okay, so what is going to happen if you miss a note? You know, you think that people are going to stand up and boo at you? Or you know, what is going to happen if you're giving this talk in front of, you know, your coworkers and you mix up a slide? Do you think that tomorrow somebody's going to come in and say, really, you did a terrible job doing this? I mean, you have to have somebody, not yourself, because it's impossible when you're in the throes of anxiety, somebody say to you, okay, really, what is going to happen, and what is reality? You know, you don't hear about the outcome of an operation, and you this happened to be, and this is, I talk about this in the book, when my dog was being spayed, and the vet didn't call me, and I knew the operation had to be over, but how long could it last? And I didn't hear from him, and I thought, oh my God, the dog just bled out on the operating table. You know, I watched too many medical TV dramas, and somebody said, wait a second, you know, how many procedures do you think your vet, who is not young, has done, you know, thousands? What makes you think that just because you haven't heard from him, she's dead, the dog is dead? You know, so you need somebody to reality test, and that is so important. And that one of the problems is when people are isolated, there's nobody around for them to help them do this.
Yeah, and it's also the people who used to be good at it, it seemed to be so caught up in their own that, you know, not combination of reality testing and humor, but we really have gone to, you know, there's all of the little things in the middle or between the dog being okay and the dog no longer existing.
Right. But that's right. I mean, and one of the problems with anxiety is that you are out of control. You can't control the Delta variant floating around in the air, and you can't control the fact that your dog may be lying on an operating table, and you have no idea maybe what's going on. Maybe the operation started 2 hours after you were told because it was an emergency. You don't know what's going to happen, you know, when you take the bar exam because, you know, you've been told that the pass rate is only 45% or something. So you feel no matter how much you prepare yourself, you are out of control. If your hot water heater breaks and you know your basement is flooded, you are sure out of control, and that causes enormous anxiety. And so there are two responses. One is take action, call, or help somebody call. Go to a place where you can get help. You know, I called when I didn't know what happened to my dog. I called the main number. Where is my dog? Oh, your dog is resting comfortably. The doctor is too busy to have called you. Fine. You know, suddenly my anxiety level went from being 2,000% to practically nothing. But or if you can call, have somebody call for you. Have somebody take over the putting you back in control mode. Yeah, and then really reality test with you and say, really, now, what do you think the chances are of X happening? You know, your water heater breaks, but you're not going to have your house flooded because probably the water won't go above the basement floor. You know, so you have to be able to have somebody reality check for you, too. And if you're in isolation, as you talked about, Jill, there's none of that.
Right, and it's just...
I think you cannot handle it. It's a dreadful situation to be in.
And that brings us to another thing. That is what Marshall's saying, wind it up, Jill, be quiet. I'm just going to say it brings us to another thing, which is sometimes you have to ask. You know, if you're in a state, let someone know.
Exactly.
This conversation.
Don't be isolated.
This conversation reminds me when I went into radio, my first job before I went on the air, Don Thurston, I was nervous, and he looked at me, and goes, Marshall, what's the worst that can happen? You make some mistakes. We know about it.
Right.
You move on. You're not driving. You're not flying a plane. You're not driving a bus full of people. You're not going to kill anybody. What's the worst that can happen?
That's right. Reality test. If you have to give a recital and you miss two notes, is everybody going to go up and say, boo? No. They'll sit there and say, wow, what a great performance you're doing. And nobody's going to remember one way or the other. You're absolutely right, Marshall. But we forget.
And look how long he's lasted. All right. Congratulations on the book. Congratulations on your lessening anxiety. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman. Food for Mood.
Judy can be heard, of course, right here on Robin Hood Radio every Thursday morning, and we broadcast on the weekend as well. And find her online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.